Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to continuing coverage, segment number 5 of coverage here on the 6th of February, 2023, day 9 in the courtroom. Let's go there right now.
Is there anything before the jury comes?
It shouldn't be a complicated issue, but Mr. Waters and I are complicated people.
Yes, sir. All right, Mr. Waters.
Well, Your Honor, I don't know if Your Honor has another instruction that you prefer. I probably would do the language just a little different in that particular one, but I think fundamentally the principles are accurate. I do think that the next to last sentence is superfluous because that's already said, but I think that's fine. And in the end, I don't think that there's too much that we have an issue with that particular charge.
And Your Honor, one matter, other matter before we bring the jury in. Would you want me? You want to hear from me now?
Yes, sir.
The state intends on introducing proof. Not this witness. If this witness is another witness, there's a GSR person, specific GSR person.
That's correct. There'll be the witness after this.
Okay. Evidence of GSR gunshot residue on that blue jacket. We would object to any such testimony under a 403 analysis. Prejudice outweighs the probative, and I'm struggling to find out to figure out what the probative is. So I think it's factually driven. I think the state needs to give you some sense of what it proves. A jacket, I might point out, no one has put in the hands of the defendant. And the tarp that they found, they never tested for GSR, blood, DNA, and everyone says tarp, that's a jacket. I don't know how you connect it to the defendant. If the prejudice far outweighs any probative value in that it's not been connected to him, even circumstantially not connected to him, the only witness to it, Shelley, who I've talked to a couple times, indicated that was not what he had in his hands. And she'd never seen it before, never seen it with him. So, Your Honor, we'd oppose it under a 403 analysis.
Yes, Your Honor. I think if you listen to the testimony of Ms. Smith in totality, first of all, she identified a picture where she said, yeah, that looks like what it was. It was balled up. And that picture, of course, was then identified by Ms. Moore as where they recovered the actual raincoat, which, of course, is a very, very large raincoat and very easily could be identified as a tarp. I think any issues that Mr. Harpulian wants to make, he can certainly argue those to the jury, but the connection has been established between Ms. Smith and that particular raincoat, and looking at the picture and saying, that looks like what I saw. Additionally, with that other tarp, she also testified that there was no silver on that tarp. And if you look at the picture of that other tarp, it is half blue and half silver. So it's a very...
Which other tarp?
There was, I think, Ms. And I'll have to find the exhibit stamp for me real quick, Your Honor.
Today,
yes, please. So, Your Honor, and I can put them up on the elbow or hand them up, whichever you prefer, but we have State's Exhibit 224, and this was a tarp you can see with a lot of silver on it, but State's Exhibit 411, Ms. Smith identified as that's what it looked like. You can see that balled up thing right there, and that is ultimately the rain jacket, which as you saw, particularly on redirect with Ms. Goud, this is extremely large, very easily could look like a tarp, and when she balled it up, Ms. Smith said, yeah, that's what it looked like. So I think there's been enough of a nexus established as to the probative value, and what you'll, of course, hear is that from the GSR experts is that very high levels of GSR were found within the inside of that blue rain jacket, which again is this big and very, very long. Again, Mr. Harpootley can argue to the jury whatever inferences he wants to, but I think the state has established enough of a nexus to not only make it relevant, but to make its probative value not substantially outweighed by the danger of unfair prejudice.
Yes, sir.
I think he either misunderstood or is misquoting what Ms. Smith said. She said, when she was shown that photo, she said, it's the same color or like the same color. She never, ever, ever said, that's what I saw him with as he came through the door. And by the way, she found the tarp. That couldn't be the tarp because the tarp was found downstairs across a chair, which is what she said he walked in with. So the tarp in the box obviously isn't it. And I mean, she said the tarp that he came in with was the one that was on the chair when he came down, not the coat. All she ever said was that blue coat, it balled up, appears to be the same color. No one has ever said that she saw him or anybody saw him with that jacket. And I would also point out that I hate to say this, but I would suspect there are a number of rain jackets in this area of the state that have GSR on them, in them, around them. So there's no one that says he had possession. All she ever said was, and by the way, it's all balled up. All she said was, it looks like the same color. She saw a picture of the rain jacket and said, that is not what he was carrying when he came in.
All right. The item is in evidence. The witness testified as to the location of the item of evidence and where she believed that it was placed by the defendant. It's in evidence. Obviously, the state contends that it has some inculpatory evidence on it. This is a circumstantial case, and circumstantially, proof may be offered on the issue of whether or not this gunshot residue or whatever it might be can be traced to the defendant. And I overrule the objection, and I find it's the evidence offered is more probative than prejudicial, though I do not believe a probative versus prejudicial analysis is required on this issue. But to the extent that it is, I find that it's more probative than prejudicial, and I deny the motion to prevent the state from offering testimony.
Accept your ruling.
Yes, sir. If you bring the jury.
Do you affirm the testimony you're about to give the court in this trial shall be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Take a seat in the witness stand. State your name again for the record. Greg Lawson.
My name is Natasha Moody, last name M-O-O-D-I-E.
I spelled it with a Y on my paper, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Ms. Moody, where are you from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
And for whom do you work?
Bank of America, N.A.
What do you do for Bank of America, N.A.?
I am a consumer resolution associate.
Consumer resolution associate. What does a consumer resolution associate do?
I manage a portfolio of litigated matters. I appear on behalf of the bank for trials, depositions, mediations, and I also review our business records on a daily basis.
Your business records. Were you asked to review business records for Bank of America, N.A. in relation to this case?
I was. I did.
I am showing you three items labeled for identification as States Exhibit 415, 416, and 417. Do you recognize these items?
I do.
And how do you recognize them?
I reviewed them and I also initialed them.
And generally speaking, what are these items?
These are documents for this case, opening account documents, monthly statements for various accounts, and copies of checks for this account, for various accounts.
So are they bank records?
Yes.
Your Honor, State moves to introduce Exhibits 415, 416, and 417 into evidence at this time, my understanding, with subject to any objections from Your Honor's previous ruling off today.
Yes, sir. Ms. Harpootin.
Your Honor, may I confer with Mr. Marshall?
Yes. Please?
After the admission of these records, I would ask you to give whatever cautionary charge you're going to do.
All right. Be happy to. Ladies and gentlemen, evidence or testimony is about to be offered that the defendant may have been involved in other criminal activity. And that evidence is not evidence or proof that he committed the offenses charged in the indictments. This testimony has been allowed and is being allowed for the limited purpose of assisting the state in proving motive. You may not consider this evidence for purposes of character of Mr. Murdaugh, nor may you consider this evidence as evidence of his propensity to commit other crimes, or that it is more likely that he committed the crimes with which he is currently on trial. It is being allowed based on the state's representation that it helps explain the defendant's motive to commit the crimes for which he is accused. And you may proceed.
Very briefly, Ms. Moody, we had three discs that are now in evidence. What information is on that first disc? You indicated that it was bank records. Do you have any additional information to describe those bank records?
I do, but I don't have the disc in front of me. Oh.
Showing you State's Exhibit labeled 415. What records are on that disc?
They are checking account ending. It involves checking accounts, and I can give you the last four digits of those.
If you would, please.
Checking account ending in the last four digits is 6779. It has account opening documents for that one. The next one is account ending in 7991, and those are account opening documents for that account. And then checking account ending in 7625, and that's account opening documents for that account, and then also monthly statements and supporting documents for all three accounts.
Thank you. Now showing you State's Exhibit 416, what's on this disc?
These are credit card ending in 9559, and those are monthly statements in that, and account opening application documents.
And State's Exhibit 417, what's on that disc?
Also another credit card ending in 8591, and these are application accompanying documents and monthly statements for this account.
These are in evidence, but we would not have any objection to them, except as to our previously made objections.
Yes, sir.
State moves to admit these three exhibits. No further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
No questions. Thank you, Ms. Moody.
Moody,
you may step down and you're excused. Let me call your next witness.
Yes. State now called Jamie Hall.
Right hand on your hand. Raise your right hand, left hand on your Bible.
Yes.
Do you affirm the testimony about here the court shall be the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name again for the record. Spell your last name, please.
My name is Jamie Hall, H-A-L-L.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Where do you work?
I'm currently employed at the West Columbia Police Department as an evidence custodian.
How long have you been there?
Since April of 2022.
Will you please tell the ladies and gentlemen of this jury about Jamie Hall, as much as your background, as personal background as you want to. I'll leave that to you, but specifically, your education and background that led you to law enforcement, please.
Yes, sir. I grew up in the Midlands area of South Carolina. Upon graduating high school, I attended Clemson University and obtained my bachelor's of science degree in wildlife and fisheries biology. After that, I spent a couple years traveling and working some various jobs. I moved back to the area in 2013 and began looking to start a career, and ended up at SLED in 2015 as an administrative assistant in the trace evidence department in the forensic services laboratory. I was an administrative assistant until 2017 when I became an evidence technician, a forensic technician too, in the trace evidence lab.
When did you graduate Clemson?
In 2010.
Okay. After you traveled some, you started working in SLED in what year?
In 2015.
Okay. What was your job then?
I was an administrative assistant.
What does that mean?
For the trace evidence department, that involved answering phone calls, filing documents, pretty much normal administrative duties.
And did you further your education or your experiences while you were at SLED in that field?
No, sir. When I became the technician in 2017, that's when I began the in-house training for that career.
Okay. Tell us about the in-house training when you became the forensic technician.
Yeah. So that training involved oral and practical examinations in-house in under the supervision of an analyst, in which I learned how to properly handle the evidence and process the evidence for potential GSR. I also oversaw some testimonies of some analysts to be familiar with courtroom policies as well. And I took some outside training from Hook College in Chicago as well.
Hook College Hook. In Chicago?
Hook, yes, sir.
What was that training?
It was training regarding the scanning electron microscope, which is used for GSR analysis.
The acronym is SEM for that?
The SEM, yes, sir.
Okay. And when did you leave SLED?
In March of 2022.
Okay. And do you mind, you're working where now?
At the West Columbia Police Department.
West Columbia Police Department. And you are there what?
Evidence custodian.
Okay. Now, back in June of 2021, you were a forensic technician for SLED.
Yes, sir.
Special agent, forensic technician?
No, sir. I was not considered an agent or considered law enforcement. I was just the forensic technician, too.
Okay. So then, in June of 2021, what was your job on a day-to-day basis?
My primary role in the trace evidence department as a forensic technician was to prepare evidence for GSR analysis. That include GSR kits as well as inanimate objects that came in for potential GSR testing.
And we're going to have Ms. Fletcher testify right after you, but what is a GSR kit?
A GSR kit is an envelope that goes out to officers or investigators so that they can collect on scene from a potential suspect's hands. It has all the items they need, gloves so that they can make sure they're not contaminating the subject's hand. And then the little vials that contain the GSR particle lifts with a double-sided adhesive that's used to dab across their hands to pick up any potential GSR.
So those are kind of done in the field, if you will?
Yes, sir.
After a local law enforcement agency uses one of these kits, what happens to it?
When they decide that they need it analyzed, they submit it to the laboratory. And then when it comes into the laboratory, I prepare it for analysis. So that involves me making sure it's been properly sealed and initialed, handled properly, the correct kit. There are a variety of kits out there. Our lab has particular kits that we accept, so I confirm that it is an acceptable kit. And I also confirm that it was collected within the allowed time frame. On a living person, we're touching things all the time and possibly contaminating or removing the GSR. So we do have a 6-hour time limit on kits collected from individuals.
So if a kit comes into SLED or your possession, do you check to see if it was collected during that 6-hour time period?
Yes, sir, I do.
And how do you do that?
We have what we call an information worksheet included in each GSR kit that the officer fills out that includes the time or the estimated time that the shooting occurred, as well as the time that the kit was collected.
I'm going to show you what is marked States 13. Can you tell if you were involved with States 13? And if you can, how can you tell?
Yes, sir. This has the unique SLED lab number and item number, and it also has my initials on the day that I processed it.
6821JEH.
Yes, sir.
What's the E stand for?
Elizabeth.
Now, court, would you open this, please?
Thank you.
Okay. you examine States 13?
Yes, sir. Again, it also has my date and initials from the day that I processed it.
Your initials again, J.E.H.?
Yes, sir.
6821?
Yes, sir.
And when you're processing this, tell us again, what are you looking to see? Whether it's what's done or not, or just tell us what you
okay.
Need.
Okay. So for a GSR kit, I start by using what we call an inventory worksheet. And on that worksheet, what I'm doing is confirming the manufacturer of the kit as well as the lot number for the kit. They have lot numbers for quality control purposes to make sure they're not contaminated before they're used for collection. I'm confirming who the kit was collected from, that 6-hour time frame. And during that time, I also label the individual particle lifts inside with the unique lab number, item number, date and initials for control purposes.
And I believe a sheet has been entered where Varnado collected this GSR kit from the defendant. Are you aware of that?
Are you referring to the gunshot residue analysis information sheet?
That's exactly what I'm referring to.
Yes, sir. That's what I would have used to confirm the 6-hour time frame.
Okay. And it's in evidence already. I'm not sure exactly what number, but do you have that copy?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. And and this is already, if you'll trust me, this has already been entered into evidence. Did you use this in examining, determining whether this was collected properly?
Yes, sir, I did. It also has my date and initials on it.
So using the form, show these ladies and gentlemen what you did. How you came up and...
There's a section here at the bottom. So we have the subject's name from whom it was collected.
And who is that?
This one says Richard Alexander Murdaugh.
Okay.
As well as the time and date the shooting occurred, 6-7-21, 10 p.m.
And that's information that's gathered at the scene from somebody, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. This particular kit says that it was filled out by collecting officer Brian Vandoor. Sorry if I messed that
that's
up.
That's good enough. Okay.
And then at the bottom, the collecting officer has also signed and dated that it was collected at 6-7-21 at 11:15 p.m.
And would that 11:15 fit in the time period where you're saying, okay, well, I can pass this on to be analyzed?
Yes, sir. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
And so, not taking away from what's your job at all, but one of your jobs is to make sure that's done correctly?
Yes, sir.
And then do you inspect the vials, if you will, to make
sure? Yes, sir. I make sure that there's nothing out of the ordinary with them. Occasionally, you might would have a little crack in the vial, but I've never had anything damaged.
So, in your opinion, these were collected properly and you passed them on for analysis?
To the best of my knowledge, yes, sir.
Now, were there, let me ask you this much, local agencies that you examine items for potential evidence, in this case, gunshot residue, how did they get to the lab?
Typically, the officers from the local agency submit them through our evidence control department, and once they're submitted that way, that's when they're assigned their unique lab number and item numbers for each piece of evidence, and then based on the type of analysis that agency requested, we would get notice that it needs to be processed. And so I would pick it up from evidence control and bring it upstairs to the trace lab to begin the processing.
And is all that documented from local agency to y'all and where it goes from there?
I can't attest to what the outside agencies do. I believe it probably varies agency to agency. But once it's been logged into our system downstairs, it is tracked throughout the laboratory for every hand that touches it.
That's kind of what we refer to as a chain, correct?
Yes, sir. It's referred to as the chain of custody.
Chain of custody. Now, did you have some other items of potential evidence in this case that you examined?
Yes, sir. I had several other items.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's marked States 418. Ask me if you can just identify this all, and does it relate to your testimony?
Well, I can no longer see my initials, but I did process items that were in container D, and this is marked with container D for this case number. Yes, sir.
And would you open it up then to see if you can further find your mark with the court's permission? It's your lab number 21 contained in States 418 at this point for identification. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I recognize it as the lab item number 20.
And what is lab item number 20?
It was a brown paper bag containing one pair of green cargo shorts.
And also contained in 418, lab number 21. Can you tell me if you recognize that?
Yes, sir. It's lab number or item number for this case 19, which was a brown paper bag containing one white T-shirt. Okay.
Now, without objection.
They're admitted.
I'm going to show you what thank you, Your Honor. Sorry. I'm going to ask you, please, ma'am, this crazy question. Look at 423, 424, and 425. Do you recognize these, and do they relate to what you're talking about right now?
Yes, sir. These are PGSR collection worksheets from clothing that I generate during my process of collecting from inanimate objects.
Okay. Inanimate objects.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, let's start with the shirt, 423.
Yes,
it's
sir.
In evidence. Tell these folks what you did with the shirt.
So anytime we're processing clothing or an inanimate object in the lab, we start by making sure everything's been thoroughly cleaned, and we also place down parchment paper to just as an extra check and balance to make sure there's nothing contaminating the evidence. We also place what we call a clothing blank out onto the table where we are processing. That's just another one of those double-sided adhesive stubs, and it's left open and exposed to the environment to make sure there's no contamination in the environment. That's how I start all of my clothing. Then I confirm that everything is adequately sealed and documented, and I open my items and lay them out on the parchment paper. I photograph items, and then I do label those items for identification later if needed. And then I will sample the clothing item closest, in the areas that would be closest to the discharge of the firearm. So in this case, we're talking about a t-shirt. So I will sample the right chest and sleeve area together and the left chest and left sleeve together. So if you want to draw a line down your midline for right and left, and then we typically go down to just below the chest area.
And is that what you do with every shirt?
Yes, sir. If it's a long sleeve garment, I would typically use a separate particle lift for the chest area and the arms, just because the adhesive doesn't last quite as long.
And if you said this, I apologize, I'm tired. Why are you doing those areas?
It's closest to the discharge of a firearm.
Potential discharge, so that's where you test.
Yes, sir.
Well, looking at the shirt, look 418, the shirt that's contained in here. Which one's the shirt?
19. Yes, sir.
Before you get to doing the particle lists, what's the first thing you do?
I confirm what the item is and that it's properly sealed and initialed.
Do you open it?
After I clean, I open it. Yes, sir.
And do you make observations of items when you first open it?
Yes, sir. Anything that seems out of the ordinary for any item is documented on the worksheet in the comments section.
And you have a comment section. That's where you put your thoughts, right?
Yes, sir. Anything that may, again, be out of the ordinary or affect the analysis later.
And just to go back, you go down a bit. Yep, so this is right sleeve, right chest, left sleeve, left chest. Haynes beefy shirt, right? Craig, you go down a little bit.
I don't have any objections. Introducing 423 into evidence. I don't think it's in evidence yet, but no objection.
We offered it a little while ago without objection. 423, 24, 25.
I have no objection to those three exhibits going
in. I thought I'd said that. If I didn't, I apologize. Is this a Haynes beefy t-shirt?
Yes, sir, it was.
And item 19-1, what are your comments underneath there?
Small reddish brown stains observed. Shirt had an odor of laundry detergent.
What do you mean by that, an odor of laundry detergent?
It just smelled freshly laundered, which is not typical of the lab. Typically, clothing smells slightly musky when we get it.
And you examined this shirt when?
On June 8th of 2021.
Now, you didn't know, did you have any knowledge about this case whatsoever?
I just knew that we had asked to make it a priority in the lab.
And you attempted to collect particle lists from that shirt?
I did collect particle lists from the shirt, yes, sir.
Next, states 4, 25. Sorry, we're out of order here. This is also your clothing work sheet?
Can I see the top of that sheet? I'm sorry. Oh, yes, sir.
And what was this? That you examined?
This was the worksheet we generated when we collected from a seat belt that was collected from a 2021 Chevy Suburban South Carolina tag CZL420.
And I think we have it marked for ID only. Do you recognize this? Strike that, I'm sorry. The seatbelt states 100. Thank you to everybody. Takes 100. Can you look at this and see if you have it examined that before? Does it relate to your testimony?
Yes, sir. This was SLED item number 142, and it also has my date and initials on it as well.
All right. What did you do with stakes 100?
At the direction of the analyst, Megan Fletcher, I collected samples from various areas on the seatbelt.
Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how did you determine where you were going to collect samples?
Since this was not our typical item, I collected from areas in which Megan instructed me to collect.
Which was where?
We collected from the buckle, three different areas of the belt, and the latch plate.
Can you show the jury where you collected?
Yeah. So this, I believe, was what we called the latch plate.
Okay.
Sorry if I'm misspeaking on that. But and then the buckle was... this area here, and we did the top and bottom of it, and the three sections were just we measured the length for each section, did a section, rolled more out, and did the next section.
And how were you actually doing it with the particle lifts? How were you collecting them?
So as stated before, the particle lifts have a double-sided adhesive on it, and you just repeatedly dab that across the garment or the item that you're collecting until it loses its adhesive abilities.
100, we'd offer, Your Honor.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. And looking back on the sheet, this noted here, that's where you went through and did your inventory sheet, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this is to document you did what you did, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, did you also have an occasion to examine the pants? In this case, it's already, I believe, in evidence.
I did collect from some cargo shorts.
And those were also included on what I just took down off the Elmo, but can you tell the folks where you collected or tried to collect lifts off the cargo shorts and why you collected in those areas?
Yes, sir. For any type of pants or shorts, we always collect from the right groin and the left groin area. Again, that's the area that's closest to the discharge of a firearm.
And that's standard. That's what you do.
That is standard practice.
Now, did you...
Is that correct, Mr. Griffin?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you mind opening up for it? First of all, do you know whether or not you examined a pair of shoes in this case?
I did, and these are the shoes sled item number 21.
Okay. Would you please open that for the ladies and gentlemen?
Gloves.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. Before you cutting that, you see JEH on here?
Yes, sir, I do. On 6-8-21, I signed my initials.
What is all that right there?
I believe it's yard debris.
Okay. Court permissions to dump this right here, or can I get a trash can?
Get a trash can.
These are states 419 in without objection. Can you show these to the jury?
Sir.
Show the jury what you, I'll hold them. Show the jury what you,
So with shoes, when we collect from them, we're going to collect again to the area that would be closest to the discharge of the firearm, so the front of the shoe. So in this case, I would do the area where the laces would typically be and the front toe. Depending on how well the adhesive continues, it will depend on how far back I go, but I start with the toe and then work my area down the sides.
Is this the condition they were when you saw them on June 8th, 2021?
There was more grassy type material on them when I had them.
Okay. And what I just dumped in the trash can with the court's permission and in here, did you indicate on your comment section
yes.
whether or not yard debris was present?
Yes, sir. I commented that shoes were wet with yard debris present.
Wet with yard debris?
Yes, sir.
Did you, on June 8th now, go back in your mind, when you saw these, in addition to wet and yard debris, did you make any other notes in the comment section about those shoes?
I did not.
Do you remember, did you see anything that looked like blood?
I did not make any note of that, no, sir.
With your naked eye?
No, sir.
Top or bottom?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you have any other items that you examined that were presented to you for examination either by yourself or with Megan Fletcher?
Yes, sir.
What was that?
It was sled item number 173. And it was, we described it as one blue rain jacket / poncho.
Okay. And was this the same? No. When did you examine the poncho?
I believe we began on October 5th, 2021.
Okay. So is it fair to say that the clothes, the shirt, the pants, and the shoes were on June 8th of 2021?
Let me check my notes. Yes, sir, that's correct. June 8th of 2021.
And I didn't ask you this, and I apologize. When did you examine the belt, the seat belt?
The seatbelt was examined on September 1st, 2021.
And again, the specific date for the raincoat was what?
October 5th, 2021.
And tell the ladies and gentlemen, take us to the lab now. How did you examine that garment, the rain jacket?
This was also not our typical garment, and I believe there was some information provided from investigations. So everything I did in this case was at the direct, or in this for this particular item was at the direct supervision of Megan Fletcher. She essentially told me where she would like me to collect, and she documented everything on the note sheet while I physically collected the particles.
Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
They're admitted.
And Your Honor, 421 are the particle list from the rain jacket, and I believe there's no objection except the further objection they made previously.
No additional objection,
421.
They're admitted.
So let me go back in time real quick. Are these the particle lifts you took from the seatbelt, 427?
Yes, sir, my initials are also on each individual stub.
And that's sort of like the officer has in the scene, you're now doing it in the lab, taking part with it, correct?
Correct.
And particle list from 420 lists from 19, 20, and 21, which I think are the pants, the shirt, and the shoes. Were these the particle lists from 420 that you actually took?
Yes, sir.
Again in the twos?
Yes, sir.
And your initials is on?
Yes, sir.
Now, 421, you said it was a little different, unusual. How did you take the particle lists on this rain jacket?
I believe everything was considered in Megan's custody while I was doing the collection, and then it was transferred directly to my custody when I carbon coated the particle lifts. That's just a process where a thin layer of carbon is added. It allows the analyst to get better images on the instrument. It doesn't do anything to add or remove GSR. It just simply adds a very thin layer of carbon. So it was in my custody at that time, but prior to that, it was in Megan's custody.
Martin, it's 226. Is this the rain jacket that you were describing?
If I can check the bottom cuff. Yes, sir. The date and my initials are here in the bottom cuff.
So you looked at this rain jacket?
Yes, sir, I did.
And Megan Fletcher was with you?
Yes, sir.
And tell the ladies and gentlemen, how did you process? Where did you attempt to get particle lists?
Basically the entire garment. We marked it off in different sections, again, where Megan advised me to collect from, and I repeatedly dabbed the particle lift across each section until it lost adhesive.
These particle lifts?
Yes, sir.
You dabbed each one of these?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what are these little things on here, these tape or the...
I'm not sure what those are.
Okay. Now, you did the outside of this garment?
Correct.
Did you do anything else to it?
We also sampled the inside of this garment as well.
So you actually turned it inside out and took samples from the inside?
That's correct.
Okay. Megan Fletcher was with you?
Yes, sir.
What about the hood? Did you test it or take samples from the outside of the hood?
Yes, sir, we did.
Did you take samples from the inside of the hood?
Yes, sir, we did.
May the court's indulgence. I'm not wearing gloves here now, but when you're examining all of these items, do you wear gloves?
Yes, sir.
Does Megan Fletcher, did she wear gloves?
Yes, sir.
Why?
To make sure we're not contaminating it, as well as to protect ourselves from anything that may be on the garment.
And as far as the to not contaminate it, you don't want to put anything of you on that garment.
Correct. It's standard practice for us to wear a lab coat, gloves, and if it's going to be processed for DNA later, we also wear a mask.
And is that in a controlled environment when you attempt to get these particles?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Judge. That's all.
My defense.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
That's 422. They both do not do anything.
Oh, you do. I'm sorry. Yes.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hall.
Good afternoon.
You said if you're going to do DNA testing, you wear a mask.
Yes, sir.
Did you wear a mask?
Yes, sir, I did.
So, to your knowledge, were some of these items processed for DNA after the GSR processing?
It was my understanding that they had the potential for DNA analysis. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, let's just talk about how you go about sampling for GSR. And you talked about the shirt, and you said you would do the chest and sleeve on either side. How does that work? Do you lay the shirt out on a table?
Yes, sir. So as I stated, the table is thoroughly cleaned, and then we place down parchment paper as well, sterile parchment paper, and lay the garment out on that so that we can access all the areas.
And for the shirt here, I think it's item 19, did you just check on the two areas at the top on the chest?
Yes, sir. Unless we're given information from the investigative team or from an officer who submitted it that there's potentially a reason to test somewhere else, we only test the chest and sleeve area because that's the area that would be closest to the discharge of a firearm.
And that's what you're looking for is, do you call it gunshot residue? Is that right?
Yes, sir. It's microscopic, so you cannot see it. Therefore, we're testing the areas where we would expect to find it.
And you would expect to find gunshot residue on the shoulders of a person who had recently shot a gun, I would take it.
Yes, sir.
That's what you're looking for.
That's what we're trying to find out, yes.
Right. And then you did some GSR testing of a seatbelt assembly and buckle and whatnot, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you did GSR testing of this rain jacket here, right?
Correct.
And shirt, shorts, shoes, and Officer Varnado, I think is his name, you received a sample from him, and you just checked to be sure. It was off.
I didn't physically receive it from him, but he was the collecting officer listed on the sheet, yes, sir.
Okay. And so he would have taken the sample, or whoever did it would have taken it from Mr. Murdoch, and that would be item number 18, I believe.
Sled item 18, yes, sir.
And those are the samples taken from Mr. Murdoch's hands, I take it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you can get gunshot residue on you by just simply picking up a firearm, can you not?
Those questions would be better asked of the analyst. I can only testify to that factually what I did.
Okay. And the analyst here is Ms. Fletcher?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you to take a look at your worksheet, which is in evidence 423. And do you have that up there?
Yes, sir.
You know, I think I'd rather put it on the Elmo so we can. Do you have it in?
I have my copy, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, great. So all right. Yeah, go to the top. Okay, let's stop right there. Agent Hall, it says that this was a brand Hanes Beefy t-shirt.
Yes, sir.
And then particle lifts, right sleeve, right chest, left sleeve, left chest, correct?
Correct.
And it says description, paper bag containing one white t-shirt. Is that right?
That's correct.
And Doug, if you'll go up down a little bit more. Okay. And then there it says, comment, small reddish brown stains observed. Shirt had odor of laundry detergent. That's what it says, correct?
Correct.
Do you know what those small reddish brown stains looked like?
They looked like small reddish brown stains on the shirt.
Were they tested?
I have no knowledge of what was done after I handled the object.
Okay. Now below here it says, sealed brown paper bag containing one pair of green shorts. Is that just an entry for another item?
Yes, sir, that's item number 20. The sheet is designed where we can put two items on one sheet.
Okay. So when you received the shirt, item 19, was it in its own separate bag?
In this case, it was, yes, sir. That's why I made the note that that individual item contained its own brown paper bag, while the description says brown paper bag containing.
Okay. And the shorts, those are green cargo shorts, and again, you lifted, it says right groin, left groin.
Correct.
And it's, I mean, it's just on the, is it on the inside of the pants leg, or?
Well, it's on the outside of the garment, down to, you know, a reasonable distance, depending on the type of fabric, could depend on how much adhesive it has, depending on how large the garment is for the from the person. A small garment versus a 3XL is completely different. It depends on how far I can go down on the garment.
And then, and to do this, you take a sticky something or another?
A double-sided adhesive on an aluminum stub. Within those little vials, the bottom has a holder for that, and then we grip it by the bottom and repeatedly dab it across the garment.
Until it loses its stickiness.
Correct.
And then, do you do one vial per area or multiple vials?
It's one vial per area listed. If for some reason I needed to use an extra vial or an additional vial, that would have had its own listing on the worksheet.
Okay. Now, I tell you, you don't know what the results of your lifting were, do you?
No, sir, I do not.
That it would, you would then finish your work and send it up the chain?
Yes, sir. All the items are either given directly to the analyst or they're securely stored in the trace evidence lab until the analyst takes possession of them.
Okay. And this blue rain jacket, you said you put carbon on it or something?
Yes, sir. It's a standard practice for anything collected from an inanimate object. We typically get a lot of debris, sand, dirt, or fibers, typically from clothing, and that can cause it to be a little bit more difficult on the instrument for them to get pictures of the particles. So the carbon just allows them to get a better picture of the carbon. A better picture of the particles when they do their analysis, but it does not do anything to add or remove GSR.
So you put the carbon down before you use your sticky thing?
No, sir, that process happens after the collection.
Okay.
So it goes into a small device, and there's little rods of carbon that are rubbed against each other inside of the instrument to put the layer of carbon onto it.
I see. But you're not putting carbon on the garment?
No, sir.
Got it. Second, Your Honor. Ms. Hall, are you involved in any way with DNA processing?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay. And so you don't know whether any of the items were processed for DNA?
I have no knowledge of where the items went after they left my department.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. You may step down. Unless you have a 2-minute witness, this will be it for today.
We don't, Your Honor, unfortunately.
Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for this day. We'll resume at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Please do not discuss the case. Mr. Harpootlian, concerning the item that you were objecting to the testing,
yes.
I think it was that the blue, what exhibit number is that?
Not the T-shirt, not the shorts, not the shoes.
And regarding that same number 226 rain jacket, is the same item that Mr. Griffin cross-examined a previous witness concerning?
Ms.
Smith.
Yes,
concerning?
Yes. Examined her extensively about whether she'd ever, first of all, was that rain jacket in his hands when he came in that morning? Two, had she ever seen him with that rain jacket? And three, did she, when she looked into the closet, did she know whether it was a tarp or whether it was a rain jacket? Was it the same color? She said it was the same color. That's it. And I objected to it because I thought the prejudicial outweighed the probative.
So I also recall Mr. Griffin questioned her as to whether it appeared there was a gun or different things in it.
No, Your Honor.
I questioned her as to the tarp. This witness, Ms. Shelley Smith, has never, they never showed her the rain jacket. She's never identified a rain jacket. And when asking court here a photo of that rain jacket, she says, Your Honor, that is not what he had. And what's so prejudicial is they have introduced GSR, they will introduce an expert tomorrow and say, it's covered with GSR. And that is extremely prejudicial. They have no evidence connecting Mr. Murdoch to that rain jacket. And the only witness they relied upon to get a search warrant, Your Honor, says that he came in with a tarp. I questioned her whether in the tarp it looked like there was a gun in the tarp. She says no. She says he went upstairs, he came down, he laid the tarp open on his mother's retirement rocking chair. And she leaves that day and she sees the tarp laid out, and it's a tarp that looks like it goes over a car. And now they're coming in, showed her a photo of something in the closet that they seized, and says, yeah, does that look like a tarp? And, I mean, does that look like what you saw? She said, well, it's blue. And now they're putting in GSR on an item in a house he doesn't live in, an item he's never had in his possession, to the best of anybody's knowledge. And that's the basis of our objection, Your Honor.
So, Your Honor, again, if you look at the testimony, excuse me, in its entirety, Ms. Smith described, she testified, of course, that Alec Murdoch had showed up early in the morning, which was highly unusual. He was carrying what appeared to be a blue tarp balled up. And then she was shown the picture in the closet where it's balled up and said, that looks like the item. Now, when it was pulled out and shown by them, she said, that's not what necessarily I saw, but she did recognize the balled up item and the balled up item in the closet, which the investigator said that's how they recovered it. She did identify that picture, and then if you put the two chains of evidence together, that's what the investigator recovered that she identified. Now, certainly they can argue to the jury whether or not that's the right tarp or not, but she did say that that is consistent with what I saw, all balled up, which was the only way she saw it. Again, this is also evidence that, you know, was admitted and has been extensively examined before the jury on. So certainly they can argue all these points to the jury, but there's enough of a chain that's been established by the testimony for it to be submitted to the jury.
Your Honor, might I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
We're getting daily transcripts. Perhaps overnight you could, before they, I mean, the prejudicial piece is the witness they're going to put up tomorrow, I would suggest. Perhaps you could look at that daily transcript of her testimony alone. And I don't believe, I submit, she said what he said, maybe what he wished she said, but I don't believe she said what he said. Your Honor, I think Mr. Waters is arguing this. I don't believe Mr. Metters has a dog in this.
Y'all just did.
Well, good for the goose, good for the gander, but 520, I just thought maybe this is a simple solution. He's going to say this is what she said. We're going to say this is what she said. I think it's clear she never said that what was in the closet was what he carried in. But, and of course, you have a court reporter that could, I guess not type it tonight, but perhaps give you an audio of it. But it's a very simple question. It boils down to what she said about what she saw in the closet. Because clearly she said that when shown a picture, that's not what he walked in with. He walked in with a tarp, which he left over a chair. And, you know, other than their supposition that he somehow brought that rain jacket in and wadded it up and threw it up in the closet, no evidence that there was a gun, no evidence that anything was balled up in it, they'd want to make a giant leap of logic. It's not circumstantial evidence of anything. So I would ask the court to perhaps look at the daily transcript. Somebody's got one right there. And just look at her testimony, not all of it, just her, or even a piece of her testimony. What did she see in the closet in response to Mr. Metters' question? Now, Mr. Metters believes she said something, and Mr. Waters believes she said something different than what we think. The proof is in the pudding, as they say, or whatever. That's not really a legal aphorism there, but I would suggest strongly that maybe
overnight look at it and then let us know what you think.
Yes, sir. Mr. Meadows, you had something? Mr. Waters, yeah.
I think, and I guess on redirect through their investigator's transcript, I think they were asked, and I asked her if they had asked her about whether it could contain a firearm, and she said, well, I don't know. But that was brought out, I think, which would directly from their investigators who asked her about it. So that, I think, made it relevant. They certainly thought it was relevant when they were interviewing her. So that's why we do think it's relevant, and we hope Your Honor will let us keep going tomorrow with the GSR to see if there's anything potentially in the rain jacket that has GSR in it.
All right. Okay, we'll adjourn for this day.
That wraps up the fifth segment of coverage today in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our courtroom coverage and conversation on this case as it continues to develop day by day. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us for more.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.